Okay, so let us, I guess, not jump right into Shlach. Let's transition from Balot Chodesh Shlach, because what you probably notice, though it really becomes most manifest in Shlach, though the beginning is in Balotcha, is that if you're graphing out Bamidbar in terms of positives and negatives, right, the book sort of goes like this, and then, you know, and then at the end like that.
No, but by Vahibin Tzoharon, it's really positive.
Very good, right? up, Vahibin Tzoharon, and then like...
Right, what about the slump? The slump is...
Yeah, very good. So I said, the end of Balotcha already is going down.
Oh, the Parsha. I thought you were talking about the book for some reason. Yeah, okay.
What?
Sorry, I thought you were talking about Bamidbar.
No, the book of Bamidbar.
You are. Okay.
Well, Balot Chashlach is the transition. That's my point.
Yeah, okay.
Is that the beginning of Bamidbar is totally fine.
That's pretty good,
Through, like, the middle of Bahalotcha, when everything is great. Vayhi ben Tzaharon, Vayomer Moshe, that's, like, the pinnacle.
Yeah.
Everything is great. And if you know, if you can ever, you can't find it in the Chumash, it's, you know, the Tunun, right? And then, right after Vayhi ben Tzala, things start to go down because you have the Mit Onanim, and then, you know, by Shlach, you have
the
Maraglim, you know, things go downhill pretty quickly. And that forces you to really try to understand this. I was reading a chapter over Shabbos, Rabbi Nati Alfgott in his book, I think it's called Mikra and Meaning. He notes that if you want to see how bad this is, so if you note in Bahalotcha, what's the story right before Vayhi ben Tzala? Chovav, but good. Chovav. He's assuming, according to Chazal, that Chovav is Yitro, but yes. Right, where Moshe asks Chovav to stay, and there's one word which it becomes a light vort. What's a light vort? Or mila mancha in Hebrew?
Oh, right.
Or guide word in English? Right, a word that appears several times. So just in those psukim, what is the one shoresh that appears over and over and over again? Tov. Right. And he says, Right, three times in that pasuk alone. You've known the good that we did, and God will do that good to you and be good to you. Right. As opposed to afterwards, where, you know, that doesn't really happen. Things suddenly... Very good. The shoresh of the next unit after Vayhi ben Tzala is ra, 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 ra. Right, Vayhi Moshe ra. Which does seem to be that is the turning point by Heben Soa. And we probably talked about this last year, but one of the things that he makes a very fascinating point that I think will really guide us into Shlach, and he says, it is so true that until Perek Yod, until by Heben Soa, everything is looking up. He said, did you notice anything that's very bizarre about this little story with Chovav? I'll read the Sukkim again, okay? Vayomer al nata zovotanu ki al kenya data chanutinu bamidbar vayitolanu leinayim vayaki telech imanu vayatov hahu asher yitiv adonai imanu vayitavnu lach vayisumer adonai derech shalosh yamim vayrot bir adonai nosei levenim derech shalosh yamim latur lehem minucha vana adonai lehem yomam minasam min hamachaneh. Or even the first pasuk in that unit, vayomer Moshe el chovav min ruah midyani chotein Moshe nosim anachdu el makom asher amar adonai Oto, etin lachem lechayitanu v'itavnu lach, yedonai di bertov al Yisrael. Is there anything interesting in that should be there and is missing? It's glaringly missing in that unit. I'll read the first pasuk one more time, okay? Vayomer Moshe lechovav ben Ruel, midini chotein Moshe, nosim anachnu el hamakom asher amar adonai oto, etin lachem lechayitanu v'itavnu lach, yedonai di bertov al Yisrael. We are traveling to the place that God told us that He's going to give us and be good for us. For God has spoken well of Yisrael. That's Tov, Tov, Tov. What's missing in that pasuk that you would expect?
It seems so obvious when you say it, but I'm just...
Mitzrayim. There's never a mention of where they're coming from. This point of the Sefer is so positive that at this point, right, he says, if you think by the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, they're leaving Mitzrayim. By this climax in Bahalotcha, they're not coming from Mitzrayim. They're Nosin El. Right, the focus is completely where they're going to. It's as if Mitzrayim has been left behind. They finally made it out, and then those two psukim, Vahib and Tzararon, Vayomer Moshe, Kum Adonai Ve'avutu Ayvecha, Ve'inusim Mitzanecha Mipanecha, U'minucho Yom Ha'ashuvah Ne'erevodah Vayisrael. Right, it's talking about how great it's going to be, and how God will get rid of their enemies, but there's no discussion where they came from. It's as if Mitzrayim has been left behind. And then what happened? What? Very good. And so this is where Rehalf God argues that why does everything start to unravel? Because the Pasuk of Chavav says everything is good and we're going to Israel. Mitzrayim has forgotten. And then what happens in Perek Yud Aleph? The Asaf Suf say, but what do they say? It's not just they complain. What do they say?
This is the transition.
No. They don't say that. All they say is we remember Mitzrayim. It was so good in Mitzrayim. They don't yet say that they want to go back to Mitzrayim. But now you understand why this is a transition to Shlach. How is it that after Perik Yud of Baalotcha, right, in Baalotcha, where everything is going up, by the time you get to the beginning of Shlach, they're ready to go into Israel, they're sending spies to prepare for war, suddenly they get scared and they say, we want to go back to Mitzrayim. What is the transition? And the answer is the Asaf Suf. Because Moshe is saying, Mitzrayim is like a forgotten past, we're going to Israel, everything's going to be good, everything is looking optimistic, and then the people, even though everything's looking up and everything is good and everything is great, and there's no reason to start being nostalgic about being slaves, the people aren't ready to accept that it's all going to be good. And they start saying, well, you know, Mitzrayim was really good too, and we don't really like the food that God has been giving us here as we leave Egypt. We really loved that food that we got as slaves. You know, that was really great. I'd really rather have garlic in slavery than mun in freedom. Right?
They once didn't have watermelon.
What? Did you see? They started. One of my friends is a rabbi in Florida. He posted that they just made a mun machine. Midrashically, they've invented a machine that you put it on your tongue. It has no calories, but it is programmed to excite the right parts of your tongue to create any flavor you want without any, right? Just by mixing all the taste buds, and so like you get no calories, but you can taste whatever you want.
Is it like a one time use or like an actual machine?
No, it's a machine. Like you just you just put in what you want. That's and crazy. Like, yeah, I was like, he's like, it's a one machine. What
is it on the market?
I think it's in testing phase, but
that's
I'm not sure.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was like
stuff yourself with like tofu or quinoa, you know, one of those things that nobody like whatever, and then just have that, and you'll be like, ah.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. You're talking to a vegetarian, but okay, you know, like.
Wait, so do you like the taste of meat?
But no. Right, but that's Rehelf Gott's suggestion, right? Is that if you want to understand Shlach, you want to understand how is it that after these such optimism that everything is going to be good and everything is going to be great and we're going to go into Israel and we're going to conquer, how is it that like that the Jews are ready to give up and turn back to Mitzrayim? And it's because despite the fact that God was doing everything for them and everything was great and giving them mun and they were living on miracles, they actively decided to start to be nostalgic about Mitzrayim. And once they started looking back rather than forward, and once they started idealizing the past rather than embracing all the miracles that God had done in the present, it's only a hop, skip, and a jump to the Meraglim in the beginning of Shlach, because now... What? Yeah.
Yeah, they went down it.
But that's really what it is, right? Is that meaning? And you know, I'm expounding a little bit on what he said, but I think it's 100% right. Like if you think about it, if the Jews had been totally embracing the optimism and the miracles that God had been doing, so they would be in a much better psychological religious state. That when the Meraglim went and said, you know, it's a beautiful land, but it's going to be hard to say okay, like Yoshua and Kalev, but God is going to, not you, not the originals, okay? You're named after a good person, okay? I don't know if you're named after actual Yeshua.
Yeah.
I do have a very good friend of mine who named his oldest son Yeshua, but after Yeshua ben Nun. Like, I asked him, who's he named after? He's like, Yeshua. I'm like, which Yeshua? He's like, no. Like Yehoshua, like the one who doesn't need titles. Like Yehoshua, the Yehoshua.
Yeah, me too.
You also?
Yeah.
Look at that, you too.
Really?
After the Yehoshua. So then, your namesake, the Yehoshua. Right, so Yehoshua had said, what do you mean? God has done so many miracles. He'll help us overcome. If they were still in that mindset, and they hadn't actively put themselves in that pessimistic, nostalgic for Egypt mindset, then maybe they would have embraced the message of Yeshua and Kalev. But once you have the Asaf Suf and they start putting themselves in that headspace, it doesn't take that much to light the flame that's going to explode the entire enterprise, and that's where you get to in the beginning of Shlach. But again, and this as well, end on it, and I'm sure all of you have heard this from me at some point, some of you better heard of it many times at this point, is that if you want to understand Chumash, right, you can't forget that the Parshiot are not the natural breakup of the Torah.
Yes.
Right? The Sefer is. Right? So you can't... Part of the problem you forget this is because, like, you don't read by Midbar al HaSeder, you read it by Parsha. Unless, you know, you're, like, several weeks behind on Shai Mikra. And then you get the schus of reading the entire Sefer. I won't say who I'm talking about. Right. As he laughs.
The one chuckling in the corner? It sounds like the one is chuckling in the corner.
No, not at all. but this is the type of thing that you notice if you view the books as a continuum, as you view them as a book, rather than as divided parshiot. You would notice that transition point, that pivot from everything is good and we're going to Israel, Vahib and Soah, to, you know, we really remember Mitzrayim, it was really great, to, oh, Gavalt, it's scary, we're going back to Egypt. Right? You would realize that there is a setup that you miss if you think in Parshiot, because when you think in Parshiot, by the time you get to the next Shabbos, you've forgotten what you did the last week, and you just hit Shlach, and it's like, of course the Jews are terrible. But no, like, there is actually a progression that you're supposed to pay attention to.